Boston, More Than a Feeling.
We're playing the best songs of all time on 765 5CC's Good Morning EP. And if you thought I was excited a few months ago when I interviewed Keith from The Block, well, this is one of the great thrills for me to be able to sit down with someone who has written copious quantities of sporting news coverage and books and be able to get a little bit of an insight to the world of sports writing and sports authoring. And we're joined by the co-author of Great Australian Sporting Stories, Ian Heads. Ian, welcome to Good Morning EP.
G'day, Keith. Thank you very much for having me. Nice to be talking to you.
The first thing I want to touch on is the benefit of being able to travel as part of your work, because you've seen some fantastic places around the world as part of your job in rugby league and Aussie rules and the Olympics as well.
Yeah, I was very fortunate, really. I stumbled into the business of sports writing, but it became progressively kinder to me over the years with long trips away. You know, I went away, I think, on four or five major rugby league trips to the north of England and then down into France, the south of France, which was quite appealing, as you can imagine. And, lots of other travelling, five Olympics. So, sport and sports writing was certainly, you know, it was good to me, and I just did my best to write what I saw fairly. I've been going a long time now, so that's the jury's out on that, I suppose, but I'm still here, that's the main thing.
Definitely, and I hope that you able to write for quite a while yet, but you did mention that you've been around a while, and something that really stood out in the book that grabbed me, because I sort of came in at the tail end of that sort of era into sport itself, is the existence of the real old school codes of ethics between journalists and athletes or administrators, where there was a really clear delineation between what was to be on the record and what was really off the record, and it was really a different era in sports journalism and sports generally.
Yeah, it's a really good question, that, Keith, because I was looking through some pages the other day and thinking about that, about the good relationships that existed on the various tours that I went between the players and the press, the football tours in England and France and so forth. We'd stay in the same hotel, but there was an unwritten code, too, that the players, you know, there could be a bit of playing up at times. Obviously, this happens with football players, but they knew that the deal pretty much was that if their time away from the playing field was their own. But if they did get into strife and something became a police matter, something like that, well, it was fair game then to the press too. They worked remarkably well. There were occasional incidents in rugby league, you know, they're a rough, tough punch, and now and then there'd be a little bit of drama, but there was a genuine friendship, and now that's built in later years. I found that there's a great sense of the shared experience whenever I run into some of the guys that I used to, you know, that I toured with. But we appreciated our side, they appreciated theirs, and there was, I doubt that doesn't exist now, I don't think, Keith. I think it's more a business than it was back then, that's for sure.
And as you say, that the business side of things, not just from the journalistic perspective, but also from the athletes and the administrators' perspective, because part of the book, I recall the phrase, I'm not sure whether it was you or your co-author, Norm Tasker, who used it, but it's really gone from sport business into business sport, and the sporting aspect really takes a second place to that professionalism.
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, the players that I went away with, they were earning very little money. You know, they might, you know, they'd get a wage on tour. They'd be away for months, particularly early tours, or even longer. It would be a matter of a few quid probably a week if they're living in England. You know, there wasn't much money there, and possibly get a bonus when they came home. But it wasn't about money. It was about representing the country, I guess, but getting the nod to go on one of those tours that I was lucky enough to go on. It was a really big thing, and still much discussed whenever, you know, as I said, whenever I run into some of these fellas.
Now, we do have the news coming up. Ian, would you like to stay with us through the news? Because I would love to ask you quite a few more questions.
Yeah, I'm certainly happy to do that, Keith.
You're on Good Morning EP with Keith Topolsky on 765 5CC, chatting with Ian Heads, the co-author of Great Australian Sporting Stories. Ian is an icon of sports journalism and sports writing across Australia. And Ian, we were talking off air about the experience you've had. Certainly, I know you from your rugby league writing, but you certainly have a bit of experience in covering Aussie rules as well.
Well, I do, yes. I stumbled into a remarkable event many years ago. It was the first major job I did in sports running as a cadet journalist. The sporting editor sent me out to cover the Sydney Australian Rules Grand Final. And before I went, one of the old crusty old sub-editors I worked with, he pulled me to one side and he said, "Oh, you're going to the Grand Final, are you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'll give you a tip. Get there early." I really caught a bus and got there early to the Grand Final. And it turned out to be an amazing day with probably still the biggest brawl I've ever seen in any sporting card in my life. I've seen some pretty good ones in rugby league, you know, at the high level and low. It just exploded the first bounce of the ball and they were into it. And apparently that was the tradition of, that's what the sub-editor was trying to say to me, you know, this is a big chance of blowing up. Well, it certainly blew up and it finished up with police lining the fence and a couple of incidents in the crowd. And the nice thing was at the end of it, though, once all that had settled down, the police were there, you know, and so forth, it was forgotten straight away, apparently. The players were then congratulating each other, shaking hands. So there was a nice spirit at the end of it, but it taught me something, you know, that one thing being to listen to Wallow's old sub-editors, basically.
That sounds absolutely sensational. A wonderful way to really get into the sports writing caper. And some of the experience you've had hasn't just been in Australia. It's been overseas as well with some of the Olympic Games that you've attended. That must have been an incredible experience to not only be a writer for a newspaper at an Olympic Games, but also to manage the media side of things for the AOC.
Yeah, so I was lucky to fall and do that a few times. You know, it's hard, yeah, because the Olympics, obviously, long days, so much going on, but you've got to keep your head around. But I was very fortunate. I suppose that the first step in that, me heading in that direction was something my mother did in 1956. She was a war widow. My dad was killed in the war up in New Guinea. And she said she knew I liked sports, so she somehow rattled up enough money to get me to Melbourne. So that was my first experience, was as a spectator watching the Melbourne Olympics. And I think that probably lit a fuse with me, you know, that, and then I moved on from there, and I did go to another four Olympics after that. The grimness of Moscow, and then Atlanta was a bit ragged with all sorts of little travelling tent shows coming into town. They all thought they'd get a big quid out of it, but I don't think I did. And then highlighted by the culmination when I stood on very close to trackside when Cathy Freeman, you know, ran the great race of her life and took gold in Sydney. That was a wonderful thing. That's a great memory, standing there. I was only, you know, a stone's throw away from where she was. I had my media pass, so I could sneak in and get a pretty good seat.
That's a great perk to be able to do that. But to wrap up, because I know that time is on the wing at the moment, but in terms of your experience, what is the story that stands out to you across your career that was really a turning point story or the biggest story you covered? Not necessarily the most prominent in public, but the story that meant the most to you.
I think the one that had the biggest effect, that's a really hard question, interesting question to think about. And unfortunately, it was unpleasant. A development of as sport went into the new era, the Super League war that took place in and around rugby league and busted up against rugby union too, and changed the games forever. I think it finished up. I resigned on a matter of principle at a certain point during that, and just something I believed. I'd had a good innings, and I was quite happy to depart. But I suppose that changed my sort of direction of where I was going profoundly. So that story rates pretty high, but it was a tough story where big business was coming in to take over. Sport had just been games. The games, as Jack Gibson, the famous rugby league coach, said, it was just something we'd done on Saturdays. But sport was changing. You had that sense that it was never going to be quite the same again. I guess it never has been. It's as much a business as a sport these days, and it traces back to that period.
I can certainly sympathise with that, because I remember that episode of Sporting History very well. Ian Head's co-author of Great Australian Sporting Stories with Norm Tasker. It's available through Pan Macmillan. Certainly get your hands on a copy. It's also available through great bookstores. It is a fascinating read. Ian, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you very much. And I enjoy
the
talk a lot.
Ian Head's the co-author of Great Australian Sporting Stories, along with Norm Tasker. The book is available in all good bookstores and through Pan Macmillan. It is a wonderful, wonderful book. I've read it cover to cover. It is just absolutely sensational. Do yourself a favour. Go and find a copy.